We have an update on tactical retreat, getting out of the cities, that January 6th pipe bomber, so much more coming up tonight on I'm Right. Before we get going on tactical retreat and leaving the blue areas and all kinds of things, it's probably appropriate on this President's Day to remember what President's Day was all about, is all about, how it began. George Washington. Do you know that we have a special on George Washington here on the First TV? You can watch at your leisure, thefirsttv.com/support. Go sign up and enjoy it. Now, speaking of George Washington, we love George Washington, don't we? We on the right, I mean. Of course, the American communist hates the country, so George Washington is a piece of trash to them, just a slave owner or whatever they call him, but you love George Washington. We all do. We admire George Washington. You picture George Washington crossing a frozen river, the Delaware, in the middle of the night. That famous painting, everyone can picture it, right? Standing at the helm of the boat, getting ready to go kill some British people. We love George Washington for his humility, for his bravery, for the fact that he, as our commanding general, defeated the most powerful army in the world. And let's focus on that for a moment, because we're going to get to New York and this Trump fine and everything here, but let's talk about that. George Washington defeated the most powerful military in the world. My goodness, what techniques did he use? What kind of a tactician must he have been? Tell me, Jesse, what did he do? Well, you want to know the thing George Washington was best at as a general, and in fact, he was so good at this that war colleges around the planet, not just here in America, around the world to this day study this part of George Washington. Do you want to know what it was? What his specialty was? Retreat. Tactical retreat is what it's known as. I'm not making that up. You see, when we picture generals, we always picture the hard charger, kill them all, let God sort them out, sort of a thing. Well, I'm gonna do this and do that and I'll move here and we'll wipe them out. But the truth is, reality doesn't look like Hollywood movies. Reality sometimes says, hey, I have to get my troops out of danger here or they will all be wiped out. I can't replace them. If they're all wiped out, I lose the war. Therefore, I'm going to choose my battle. I'm going to choose my battlefield. And when I'm in a place that I can't win, where I can't win no matter what I do, I will remove myself and my men from that area so we can get to an area we can defend. I will fight at a day and time of my choosing, at a location of my choosing, giving me the advantage. And you should know that this is something many generals struggle with. It's why they teach about George Washington at these war colleges. It's hard when you're a general, you have all these men, all this equipment, you're a hard charger, you want the right thing. How do you tell them, back away, gentlemen? This is one we can't win today. That brings me to New York. Brings me to the latest and worst on what's happening in communist America. Everyone knows about the lawfare taking place against Donald Trump right now. Whether you're the biggest Trump fan in the world or whether you hate his freaking guts, you should acknowledge it is really, really bad for the country and it is accelerating us going to a really, really dark place as a nation. As soon as one party decides to declare war on the political opponent legally, it's ugly. It's very, very difficult for a nation to come back from that. So the latest is Donald Trump, this came down last week, $350 million fine in New York. $350 million fine. His son's got fines too. But $350 million fine, and he's banned from doing business in New York for 3 years. Now, I need to clarify something here. You need to set aside your love or your hatred for Donald Trump for what we're about to talk about. This is not a Trump conversation per se. This is a conversation about America as it is and the way America is going to look in the future. Let's sit and think about this. A prominent Republican, Donald Trump, just got financially destroyed in New York. And in case you're wondering about the nuts and bolts of the case, it was completely absurd, a ridiculous judgment. And not only did he get destroyed, he got destroyed financially by New York's AG. New York's AG, Letitia James, she ran for office promising she would use her office to destroy her political opponent. Here she was.
As the next Attorney General, I see the law as a sword and as a shield to protect those who are vulnerable, because no one is above the law, including this illegitimate president. And so, I look forward to going into the office of Attorney General every day, suing him, defending your rights, and then going home.
That speech alone is devastating for the United States of America and jaw-dropping. The AG of a state or a nation, the AG of, I'm making about the state, New York, she is officially the top law enforcement official in the state of New York. And she got in front of the people repeatedly and told them, if you elect me, I will take my official state position and I will use it to wage a political war against the Republican we hate. Just that speech is stunning. Something you really would never have heard previously in the United States of America. Definitely prior to Obama, you would have never heard a speech like that. But she gave the speech, and credit to her. I want to make sure I give the communists credit where credit is due. Unlike Republicans, she got elected and actually did what she promised. You see, that's the difference. Communists will run for office and they'll promise all these things. Drain the swamp, lock her up, and they'll actually do them. Republicans promise these things and then promptly wuss out the second they take office. So she takes office, she destroys Donald Trump. But set Trump aside again and think about this. If you're a Republican real estate investor in New York, what are you thinking right now? I'll tell you what you should be thinking right now. And it's funny, even the Democrats in New York are worried about this. If you're a Republican real estate investor in New York, you're probably looking around saying, am I next? Will they do that to me? If they can do that to him, the billionaire former president, what would stop Letitia James, Kathy Hochul, Alvin Bragg, this judge, whatever, what would stop them from doing that to me? The answer is nothing, nothing. And that leads me to the tactical retreat thing. I know this is a hard conversation to have every time we have it. And I understand for many people, maybe you, it's not possible. But if you are in a blue state, you need to get out. You need to tactically retreat to an area where you and your family and your business can be safe, an area where you can defend, an area where you can still be free. What happened to Donald Trump in New York is not a one-off. Communists don't do one-offs. That's not how it works. What happened to Donald Trump is simply a preview of what is to come. They are looking around, these communists in these blue states where they control everything top to bottom. You go to a blue state like New York, you have it all, right? You have every single level of power, and the communists have all these new powers, and they're using all these new powers in ways they've never used them before. They've always wanted to, but they've never used their powers this way. And I'll tell you something. They're enjoying it a lot. When Donald Trump got financially destroyed in New York, Letitia James didn't have a moment of self-reflection on what this means for America. She wasn't torn up about it. I guarantee you, cross my heart and hope to die, Letitia James, she had a part. Even if it wasn't a physical party, which I bet you it was, she had a party. It was champagne that night, baby. They're trying these new powers and they're enjoying them. And they're going to keep doing this to Republicans top and bottom. If you're a Republican living, doing business, going to school in a blue state, you need to get out. And look, I will actually credit Kathy Hochul, not for many things. I despise New York Governor Kathy Hochul. But in the very least, Kathy Hochul woke up and realized how this looks to the other Republican real estate investors. And she realized many of them are probably going to follow the Jesse Kelly plan, and they're going to get out.
I know many of the business people in New York City, and by and large, they are honest people. And they're not trying to hide their assets, and they're following the rules. And so this judge determined that Donald Trump did not follow the rules. He was prosecuted, and truly the governor of the state of New York does not have a say in the size of a fine. I think that this is really an extraordinarily unusual circumstance that the law-abiding and rule-following New Yorkers who are business people have nothing to worry about because they're very different than Donald Trump and his behavior.
Did you hear it? You heard it, didn't you? Now listen, this is an extraordinary circumstance. I mean, did you follow the law? This is extraordinary. It was just Donald Trump. I promise it was just Donald Trump, but it's not just Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the appetizer. So many people on the right view him as the final goal of the communists. Take out Trump and then the communists will not back off, but at least that's it for him. Donald Trump is the appetizer. You are the entree. This is a preview. Everything that is happening to Donald Trump, especially in blue states, is a preview of what the United States of America is going to look like in the coming years. So get out before the music stops and get to a place, a state, county, city, where you have some level of state protection so what happened to him cannot happen to you. And look, you know what the sad part is? And it really is unjust and it's sad. When it does happen to you, and hopefully it never happens to you personally, but when it does happen more and more to normal people, there won't be any headlines. There'll be no CNN headline coverage. I mean, you see it now. They were throwing January 6 people in dark holes for years, and nobody gave a crap about those poor people. As soon as Trump got raided in Mar-a-Lago, everyone cared. But when normal people got smashed, no one gave a crap. That's the truth. And that's why you got to get out. And that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Just remember, tactical retreat is not giving up. It is not giving up. It is a necessary part of survival sometimes. All right? All right. Let's talk about those January 6th protesters, shall we? Let's talk about many things related to January 6th. Before we get to that, let's do this. Did you watch the fights this weekend? You hang out with friends? Maybe too many cheese curds, too much pizza. I'm pointing at me here. Yes, I ate terribly this weekend. And my liver needs a little extra help today. All the toxins you put in your body. Doesn't matter whether or not you drink alcohol or do drugs. I hope you don't do drugs. Either way, your body takes in toxins. It does. Your liver filters out things for your body. It is the filtration system for your body, and we don't care for it. We just kind of ignore it. Ah, I'm sure it's doing fine. It needs help. That's what Liver Health Formula is about. It's about helping your liver in a drug-free way. A drug-free way to support your liver. They're giving out free bottles of omega-3s right now. Did you know that? When you go to getliverhelp.com/Jesse, you can get the Liver Health Formula and a free bottle of omega-3s, so go get it done. All right? We'll be back.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand. Marketing tools that get your products out there, and that's just the beginning. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go. Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Shopify, your all-in-one commerce platform.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com.au/listen.
The the January 6th narrative is obviously something that's been full of lies from the left. We know that. We've known that for quite some time. But that always has begged the question, okay, well, what's the real story? What's the truth behind it all? And, you know, I'm a naturally cynical person who assumes everyone in the media and government's lying at all times anyway. But even I wasn't ready after January 6th. On January 7th, I didn't wake up and think the real story would be as ominous as it really is. I'll be frank with you. As I watched January 6th unfold, all the video footage and whatnot, I thought, well, okay, well, that's ugly. That's bad. It's really bad. But, I mean, thankfully, no one seems to be dying. Oh, wait, someone did die. And I just was very confused, you know. And so January 7th, I wake up and I start trying to figure out what's true, because I know the media is lying to me about everything. The story of the January 6th pipe bombs is one of those things that has me way off in what many people would probably call conspiracy land at this point in time. If you want a little update before we go to Steve, here's some of the Thomas Massie, Julie Kelly stuff on what we've learned so far.
Well, I asked Stephen D'Antuono, the assistant director of the FBI in charge of the DC field office, you know, did you use geolocation of the cell phone data to find out who that suspect is? And he said, I don't want to cause any conspiracy theories, but the data was corrupted. That's one of the oddities. The other thing is, if that suspect that's on the screen there actually planted those bombs, it was 17 hours before they were discovered, and they had 60-minute kitchen timers on them. The person who discovered the second pipe bomb was a plainclothes police officer. That person with the backpack went up to those cruisers, as I suspected, but just confirmed yesterday, and told them, hey, there's a bomb over here. But it's like they finish their lunch before they get out of the car and come over. You know, you have to show it and fast forward to make it look like there's even half a sense of urgency.
So here you have what clearly is a bomb-sniffing canine searching this SUV at 9:50 in the morning. So we were told by the FBI, to your point, your interview with Representative Massie, we were told by the FBI that the bomb had been planted there the night before between 7:30 and 8:30. So here again, we have more evidence of a canine that's trained to detect explosives missing that device, not just once, but twice. How is this conceivably possible?
Well, maybe you thought it couldn't possibly get any worse, but the fact that we're bringing on amazing investigative journalist Steve Baker means it undoubtedly has gotten worse. Steve is with The Blaze. I welcome him now. Steve, I'm hesitant to even ask, because every time you come on here, you're breaking some new piece of horrible information. What's the latest and worst about the January 6th pipe bomb case?
Well, I think you probably already know that this is probably the scandal of January 6th thus far. And that is because of so many different elements related to the DNC pipe bomb itself, not the RNC pipe bomb. The RNC pipe bomb was handled completely differently. It was handled by the book. They cordoned off the area. They responded in a manner that a law enforcement agency should, in fact, respond when they find a suspicious device of this type. What happened at the DNC, and I keep using this word over and over and over again, and I'm tired of using this word, is inexplicable. The way that not only law enforcement responded, how the Secret Service acted, the lackadaisical nature of all of the attending officers and agents around that quote-unquote pipe bomb. But then we have the most curious aspect of all, and that is why were the two most important cameras available to the Capitol Police up in their command center to record, investigate, archive, to teach, to learn from this particular device's detonation or destruction or its disarmament. None of that happened because they turned those cameras away from the investigation scene, which is by far against the protocol, according to every single officer, every single agent, current, former, EOD experts that we have interviewed and talked to. They all say that it's unconscionable that those two cameras were turned off of the investigation scene.
Okay, Steve, I can hear every viewer of my show collectively falling off of their couch as they watch right now. They turned the cameras away from the investigation scene. Let's just ask a couple basic questions here. Who is they? Who's the person or entity that took cameras who were aimed at it and turned them away?
This comes from the Capitol Police Command Center. As you know, there was something else going on at the Capitol that day. By the time these cameras were turned away, there was already violence. There had already been multiple barricade breaches at the Capitol. So they had their hands full up there. So one could maybe assume that somebody bumped a joystick on one of the cameras. It got turned at a 90-degree angle away from the investigation scene. But then the second camera is then also manually and purposefully turned away from the investigation at a 90-degree angle. And both times, those cameras remain in that position until either the end of the day or long after the investigation is over. The bomb squad has departed. They've taken swept the area of all the evidence, et cetera, et cetera, and they're gone before these cameras ever come back. And to answer your question specifically, there is a place in the command center where they have all of the screens. It's like a war room where all the monitors are up there, and they have the people that are manning those cameras. There's over 1,700 cameras that they have to monitor in that room. They call it the pit. And there's only two people that could have ordered, by virtue of their command level status, two assistant chiefs that could have ordered the cameras to be turned away. One of those was Assistant Chief Sean Gallagher, and the other one was then Assistant Chief Yogananda Pittman. Those are the only two people that could have ordered those cameras to be moved off of the investigation scene.
Okay, Mr. Pittman or Mrs. Pittman, I don't know what that first name is, but either way, you said then Assistant Chief. Where is that person now?
She's now the Chief of Police at UC Berkeley in California.
Yeah, it's a nice cushy job she got afterwards. Anyway, Steve, could you please explain about the robot and the destruction of the bomb? What happened there?
So what we believe it was used in the destruction of the bomb was what is called a water cannon. And so this particular water cannon is aimed at the bomb. It's like almost like a shotgun shell filled with either water or some other type of liquid that's launched out of this thing at such a high velocity that it disrupts. It doesn't give the time for the circuitry in the bomb or for the detonation of whatever substance is used for the explosive, whether it's gunpowder or C4 or whatever. And so it disrupts that before it can explode. So what we're witnessing here is either the successful disruption of the device, or we're looking at an inert device, or both. The point being is that we have learned from other investigators, including former special agent Kyle Serafin, who was on the case. He was a member, a working agent at the Washington field office January 6th and shortly thereafter, and he was put on the case of finding who the bomber was, and he was told by his senior command level of agents that, in fact, it was an inert device. Before they ever went out and started the investigation, they needed to know what level of risk and threat they were under by the people that they were following. And they said, well, the bomb was a fake, so not much to worry about there.
Steve, I applaud your reporting as always. I'm obviously not going to ask any means or methods, not my business, but if you've come across some really unbelievably breaking things and things that are not very pleasant for the regime in power, have you run into any stone walls, anybody trying to stop you from acquiring things like camera footage of the pipe bombs?
Yeah, we've come up against great resistance there. As a matter of fact, the night before we released the video of the actual bomb being destroyed, the DNC pipe bomb being destroyed, I received a call at 9 o'clock at night from the chief of staff of the committee in charge of the release of these videos, and he said, "You can't release. We're being denied the right to release this." And I said, "Why?" He said, "Well, we're being told that it's due to the sensitive nature that they used a classified device to detonate or destroy that bomb." And I said, "No, that's not correct." I said, "As a matter of fact, we can go straight to the Department of Homeland Security's website. We can show you the link that details in great detail and shows videos of this device that is used." I said, "It's in the public domain." I said, "As a matter of fact, you can buy it on Amazon. It's not a classified technology, but that's what the Capitol Police leadership were lying to the congressman and telling them that that's why we couldn't release. So once I turned this information and these links and this evidence that in fact it was not classified technology, give credit where credit is due. Representative Barry Loudermilk overrode the decision and allowed me to release this footage.
Steve, wrapping things up here, obviously it's hot in the news to talk about political prisoners in other countries and their conditions in other countries. And obviously that does suck no matter where that takes place. But it's amazing to me how many Americans don't fully understand we have those people here. And it goes well beyond Donald Trump. And it took place a long time before they started going after Donald Trump. We have people suffering here to this day in this country for political purposes, don't we?
Yes, we do. I highly recommend, I just finished it yesterday, the book by J. Michael Waller is called Big Intel, and it shows absolute with incredible detail how that red thread, and by that red thread, how cultural Marxism has invaded, how it's infiltrated, and how it's completely taken over our intel systems, our FBI, our CIA, and of course the DOJ as well, and that's why we're up against this problem. It feels very much like Stalinist Soviet Union here right now in a lot of aspects.
Well, hope we can put a stop to it. Steve, outstanding as always. Please come back soon. So, just want to bring something up. Looks like the Capitol Police are bad actors here in some way, right? That's not a crazy thing to say. You just heard all that. They look to be bad actors here in some way. And remember all the cops in the wake of January 6th, Capitol Police officers who took their own lives? Remember that? Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about some culture war stuff. Before we do that, our financial systems have been infiltrated by these same dirty commies. You know this. Yeah, look. Do I need to inform you that the national debt is going up by about $1 trillion every 3 months now? And the Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer himself, just recently gave a speech on the Senate floor bragging that they just passed another budget with no cuts. In fact, his specific language was, not a nickel in cuts, bragging about it. The people who are destroying your dollar are bragging about destroying your dollar. That's how uninterested they are in stopping it. Do you have gold? Do you have it in your retirement? Do you have it in your IRA, 401k? You really need to do that. They're not stopping. They're not slowing down. This is what they've always wanted. They're picking up the pace. Oxford Gold Group is your one-stop shop for all of it, and they make it easy. That's the best part about it. It's laid back and easy. Get it in your retirement. Get it in your hands. You might qualify for up to $2,500 in free precious metals right now. Call them. 833-995-GOLD. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back. Let's do a little culture war talk here. And I was having a talk with my sons this weekend because they are very aware of how rotted the culture is right now, how this cultural Marxism has kind of infested everything. And it's fascinating to hear it from a child's perspective. Now, I say child, they're both teenagers now. They're 13 and 15, so they're not small. But what really floors me is how much they can see how bad all this stuff is. And I want to clarify, maybe you're sitting there saying, well, yeah, Jesse, they're your kids. I'm sure you talk about it all the time. That would be fair, except for it's all their friends too. They'll have their buddies over and they'll all be playing or doing something fun. And they'll talk about these things. They'll talk about these things with me. They can see it. And I guess that's one of those things that kind of blows me away right now as we look at the sorry state of our culture. How many people can see it. It's a huge percentage. It's the vast majority of the population can see the insanity, can see the evil, but they either don't know how to stop it, or they feel powerless to stop it, or they're too afraid to try to stop it. And it really does remind me. It reminds me of the Bolshevik Revolution. In fact, it reminds me of every communist revolution there is. You understand that the communists were never popular, right? Ever. Anywhere. The communism has never been popular. They're always aggressive, more aggressive generally than their opponents. They're always moving forward, always willing to do whatever it takes so they end up achieving power, but they're never popular. One of the reasons the religion that's never popular has been able to seize so many countries, including ours now, is good people get afraid. They get afraid in the face of it. If I could put one little video out there to describe the complete and utter insanity of what has taken place in Western society and American culture, it would be this video of a dude pretending to be a woman while also race baiting.
Hello, I'm Admiral Rachel Levine. Climate change is having a disproportionate effect on the physical and mental health of Black communities. Black Americans are more likely than white Americans to live in areas and housing that increase their susceptibility to climate-related health issues. And 65% of Black Americans report feeling anxious about climate change's impact. Through our Office of Climate Change and Health Equity and the Office of Environmental Justice, we're working with providers and community leaders to identify innovative approaches that empower communities to address the health consequences linked to climate change.
I just want you to marinate on that video for a moment. Marinate on where we are. Let's just go down the list on where we are. That's a dude pretending to be a woman, already insane. That dude pretending to be a woman is not in an insane asylum. He's not receiving counseling, trying to bring him out of the darkness. He's actually a high-ranking official in the United States government. He's an admiral. The dude pretending to be a woman is an admiral and a high-ranking official in the United States government. As a high-ranking official in the United States government, he's talking about how racist the weather is and how the weather that you're changing by driving an SUV is actually hurting Black people more than it hurts your people. And in order to address this, we're dealing with offices in the United States government like the climate change, equity, what? Man, doesn't that bring it all home for where we are? And before we just laugh this off, because I want to wrap this up, we have other places we want to go. Remember, it's not just an insane clown show we can laugh at. It is that, and we should laugh. We always have to make sure we're laughing. It's not just that it's that. It's how cruel all this stuff turns out to be. It's not flowery. Ah, I'm just a liberal. Ah, I just want to give. So cruel. Communism at its core has always been so vicious and cruel. Did you see this video of a 90-year-old volunteer forced to give up her volunteer position, which she loved, for this insanity?
Then recently you had some kind of interaction with a representative from the MS Society where she asked you to use your pronouns. So when she first asked you that, I mean, what was your reaction? What was your response?
I was confused. I didn't know what it was, what it meant. I thought, I'll ask, what does it mean? And, let her tell me. And so she said it meant that they were all inclusive, which didn't make sense to me because it sounds like you're
labeling for
females and not males. If you're just putting in she, her. I got an email from her saying that they were sorry, but they had to ask me to step down as a volunteer for the MS Society.
And the reason being is that you're not inclusive enough.
The verbiage she said was that she didn't abide by their diversity, equity, and inclusion. So they have to ask her to step down, and she's can't be a part of the MS Society as a volunteer, which to me is ironic because they're saying they're being inclusive, but yet they're excluding a 90-year-old disabled woman who volunteers for over 60 years.
That is so vicious and sad. And that's why I hate communists. talk some more culture war stuff with Peachy Keenan next before we get to Peachy. You know what else is vicious? Locking somebody in a timeshare when they want out. This is how timeshare companies, many of them, honestly, most of them, not all, but most of them, this is how they do business. This is how they've done business forever. You've seen the seminars, right? You've at least walked by one. If not, you've sat in one yourself. Got the slick salesman selling you on a beach timeshare. Go enjoy time with your family, your kids, your grandkids, and you get in there, and hopefully you enjoy it for a while. And you assume, obviously, when you're done with it, you don't have to keep it, right? The annual fees have doubled. You're kind of done now. Kids have left the home. And you try to get out, and they tell you you can't. Oh, sorry, you're in it for life. For life. One woman, her daughter got it after she died. It transcended her life. You don't have to live like that. Call Lone Star Transfer. They will get you out. They will legally and permanently get you out of your timeshare. Here's what you need to do. Pick up the phone. That's it. They guarantee it. They put it in writing. 844-310-2646. Call Lone Star Transfer and let them set you free of that timeshare permanently. Permanently. We'll be back.
I feel that my freedom has been taken away from me. I have been waiting since second grade for swimming during school at FESTA, only now to find out I am sharing a locker room with a trans female who may still have a penis. I do not feel comfortable being exposed to that, and I no longer feel safe. This has nothing to do with any being a bad person. It is simply that I do not feel mature enough to view any man's penis.
To allow individuals into bathrooms and locker rooms that do not align with their biological sex is beyond discomforting. It is frankly lunacy and unacceptable. This isn't about denying rights or excluding anyone. It's about ensuring that every student's right to privacy and safety is upheld.
That guts me, man. Well, we have kids in this country, and we've just so allowed them to be abused, encourage their abuse. We got little girls begging to get the penises out of the locker room. Golly. Joining me now, Peachy Keenan, author of great book, Domestic Extremist, highly recommended. Peachy, I'm telling you, it makes me so ashamed how afraid our kids are, how much they're being abused, and how all this is coming from adults. It really does. It makes me very ashamed.
Yeah, it's really sad that the children are now literally the adults in the room, with speaking the wisdom that these crazy adults need to hear. And I just, putting children in that position by itself is child abuse.
No, it is. And one of the things that hit me about that clip the first time I saw it, and this is obviously no insult to those kids at all, is we are so beaten down by this evil culture that we feel like we have to put qualifiers on everything when we speak simple truths. Not that I'm hating anybody or not that I'm excluding anybody. No, I am excluding people. I am very much excluding people. And if you're a dude who wants to wave your penis around in a high school girl's locker room, I do have quite a bit of hatred there, and I'm not apologizing for it in any way. Get out, you sick freak.
Yeah, I mean, we used to have people who would enforce these sort of like unspoken rules that, like, if a guy wandered into a girl's dressing room, the men of the area would handle it. And that's just totally fallen away. It's part of, like, you know, the death of masculine authority. No one feels empowered to actually assert themselves with common sense. And these poor little girls are being forced to say, I mean, was that a second grader? Is that what I heard? She's being forced to say, oh, I don't want to look at a penis while I'm getting dressed. I mean, honestly, the people all involved should be put in prison.
Well, they really should be. And you can think Peachy's nuts for that. That's probably the moderate solution when your country has gotten this rotted. Speaking of the country being this rotted, I'm shocked at the state of the American church. This is not every church, mind you. There are wonderful ones out there, but the level of communist infiltration in the American church is shocking to me. Here's a funeral service held in New York, Peachy.
This great Saint Cecilia mother of all.
Welcome to St. Patrick's Cathedral. Except on Easter Sunday, we don't really have a crowd that is this well turned out, you know?
That was a funeral service for a tranny atheist mm-hmm. prostitute in New York. Boy, they really seem like they're diving into the Word of God in that church.
I mean, it says really everything you need to know, that the biggest crowd St. Patrick's has had, you know, in years was for a dead trans hooker. That's perfectly describes the state of the American Catholic Church. And, you know, I'm sure Pope Francis was actually a little bit upset about this funeral only because he didn't get invited. This is exactly the kind of event that Pope Francis actually does host at the Vatican. He invited a few months ago a busload of transgender prostitutes to the Vatican to receive his blessing. This is like right out of his playbook. And it's sick that this happened actually the first weekend of Lent, which is like a 40-day period of atonement, preparation for, you know, the resurrection, Easter. But it actually perfectly describes the situation that actual devout Catholics are in when they see this travesty.
Peachy, you have a piece up, great piece in the American Mind, saying they got us right where they want us. What are you talking about? Who's they and what do they have?
That was last week. I wrote about open borders Christians and how these open borders Christians are waging war basically on America, on conservatives, and on Catholics. I gave a talk at a Catholic women's conference a few weeks ago, but there was a lot of pushback from some of the parishioners, even the priest himself, because they had seen some, you know, tweets or things I had written about wanting to secure the border, wanting to rein in the chaos at the border, you know, saying, hey, maybe we don't need, maybe 10 million unvetted illegal aliens is not necessarily a good thing for the country. So I was sort of like almost canceled for saying this. And a lot of these women, these sort of good Christian, good Catholic Karens, as I call them, they come at me with the, oh, and you call yourself a Christian? Jesus commands us to love our neighbor. And my only response to them is, yes, as a Catholic, I do love my neighbor. That's why I don't want hordes of unvetted illegal aliens pouring into my neighborhood. It's because I do, in fact, love my neighbor. Those guys coming here are not Catholics who are late for Mass, okay? Those people have nothing to do with what we're trying to do here in America. And that's what the article was about, how these open borders Christians, open borders Catholics are really just wearing Christianity as a skin suit to disguise their sort of globalist socialist ambitions to destroy this country.
Peachy, when it comes to Catholic charities, Christian charities, and others facilitating the illegal immigration of this country, it does. It makes me sick. It makes me ashamed. Yeah. When did the infiltration of the American church, when did that happen? Was it right away? And I understand that Christianity is uniquely susceptible to this with all the, you know, love and acceptance, which is obviously wonderful. That's what Jesus preached. But it's susceptible to this. When did they begin the infiltration of the church?
I mean, I think all of this, including what happened in St. Patrick's, is just sort of like trickling down from Vatican II, from the 60s and then the 70s, and just like the rise of Marxism in all our institutions, from, you know, Harvard University, the Ivy Leagues, to our government. And it just, of course, is in the institutional church. And so it's been there for a long time. I mean, Catholic Charities has been kind of flying under the radar really for decades. They take money from the U.S. government, federal grants, and they just kind of grease the skids of mass immigration through, you know, the Darien Pass, up through Central and South Central America and Cuba, I mean, in Mexico. And then when the people arrive here, Catholic Charities is right there to lend a helping hand and get them housing and get them food and put them wherever they need to go and lobby the government to keep the border open. It's really so insidious. It's not just Catholic Charities. There's a wide variety of Christian and Catholic NGOs who are funding this to the tune of literally like tens of billions of dollars a year. In the failed border bill that thankfully did fail, there was a $2 billion line item from the federal government to increase funding to religious and faith-based organizations to help these people break into this country.
Yeah. Peachy, thank you. Come back soon. I appreciate it. All right. We have Lighten the Mood next. Before we get to Lighten the Mood, I want to remind you, Mike Slater has a sick podcast. It's awesome. Politics by Faith. You want a perspective, a faith perspective on what's going on in the world? Highly recommend it. Go to thefirsttv.com/podcast. Sign up for that. We'll be back. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And before we lighten the mood, let me just say, I know I'm a bad person. And because I'm a bad person, I enjoy when bad people suffer a little bit. I don't want them to be hurt or anything like that. Not physical pain. I certainly don't want them to die. But I enjoy the misery of people who want to destroy everything. That's mainly communists. And since it is President's Day, remember, by the way, we have specials. If you enjoy learning about American presidents, we have specials on them on thefirsttv.com/support. Go sign up, enjoy our specials. But it's President's Day. Remember 2016? Donald Trump gets elected. It's one of my favorite videos of all time. Somebody caught on camera, some communist finding out that Donald Trump's now our president.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States. President Obama.
For what a great honor to be able to introduce for the first time ever anywhere the 45th President of the United States of America, Donald
Trump. On the shoulder. You're just not the finest at all, man. And for their gracious aid throughout
I am so sorry they have been to my world. I am so sorry to my world. This is not what we want.
We will face challenges.
There's so much potential.
We will get the job done.
For beauty and for devastation. In this one moment, it's almost incomprehensible that they can exist right now. So.
And we are grateful.
So close.
President Obama.
That sucks. I'll see you tomorrow.